Lecture topic, Lessons of Ashura.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and sisters, we are in the Mubarak month of Muharram, and inshallah eagerly looking forward to the very great occasion of Ashura. It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that prior to the month of Ramadan becoming the month of fasting compulsorily, so before the fast of Ramadan became fard and obligatory on the Ummah, the one fast in the year was compulsory, which was the fast of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. After the month of Ramadan became compulsory to fast, then the obligation of Ashura was cancelled, but it remained a nafil fast. And it continues to be so because of the virtue that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave of it, and he continued to fast as well. So this is the basis of it being a nafil fast with great virtue. In one hadith sharif, the virtue has been mentioned, yukaffiru sanat al-madiya. It becomes a compensation for the sins of the past year. So alhamdulillah, this is a very, very great occasion, a very great blessing, and this very great virtue. So many do make the effort to keep this fast every year. Though it is nafil, it's not something that should be forced upon anybody. Encouragement should be given. And if a person is unable to manage it for whatever reason, there's no obligation at all. If a person can manage it too and does not keep it, there is no accountability for it. Though the rewards are very great and the benefit is very great, so we should try to keep it. So alhamdulillah, many people every year do make the effort to keep the fast. Then together with that, it is quite well known and practiced accordingly that in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if I remain living to the coming year, meaning the next year when Ashura comes again, if I'm living at that time, then I will also fast on the 9th. So meaning the fast of Ashura was being observed every year on the 10th of Muharram. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this particular occasion said, and this was the last year of his Mubarak life in this dunya, he said, if I will remain next year, then I will fast on the 9th as well. So why was this said? It happened that before the following Ashura, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this dunya. So there wasn't that opportunity to keep the fast on the 9th as well, but he expressed this intention. And obviously, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressing the intention in this manner, it would certainly have been the case if the following Ashura had come. But why was this stated in this manner? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed that the Jews also fast on the 10th. So when this came to light, they were even asked, why do you fast on the 10th? So they gave their reason. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation from the army of Fir'aun on the 10th of Muharram. So as a form of thanksgiving, we also do this. We keep this fast on the 10th of Muharram. But because now they were also fasting on the 10th of Muharram, though for they were doing it for their reason. And before even this came to light, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to observe this fast. In fact, he observed it from long before, from Makkah Mukarrama. So there was no question of this being done in emulation of the Yahud. It was not even known that they were fasting on the 10th initially. This only came to light much later. So there was no question of this being done in emulation of the Yahud. But yet when this was brought to the attention of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then to break this outward emulation, even just this outward emulation, it's not an emulation anyway, but not even emulation, this resemblance. So if there was no emulation at all, but this possible resemblance, to break that possibility, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told the Sahaba that if I am alive next year in Ashura, I will also keep the 9th. So now we will be keeping 2 fasts. They only keep 1. So this outward resemblance also will be broken. Now this brings us to this very, very important topic of the resemblance with the Kuffar, the resemblance with the Yahud and Nasara. So this is a very important aspect in Deen that we have been repeatedly cautioned against the resemblance of the Yahud and Nasara, and especially emulating them is a very, very serious matter. So a mu'min has a very distinct identity, and the Muslim is very, very proud about his identity, not proud in the sense that feels, looks down upon others or whatever. Yes, the ways of others will never be given any kind of space in our life. That is what we will definitely not have any liking for. Our attachment will be to the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his Mubarak way of life, to Deen. And that is what will be close to heart. That is what will be what we will be very jealously guarding. And the last thing we will do is borrow things from other cultures, because borrowing something from another culture will mean that we are not really feeling happy about the culture that we have been given in Deen, the culture of the Sunnah, the culture of the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're finding something else to be maybe somewhat more palatable to ourselves. So therefore now we are picking and choosing, taking some things from Deen and some things from elsewhere. But now when you take something from elsewhere, it means that something on the side of Deen will be left out, because that will replace something on this side. For example, if a person adopts the culture of the Kuffar, the culture of the Yahud and Nasara, in the manner of eating, for example. So now what is their way of eating? So we have seen it in many places maybe, that they stand around, they have their so-called buffet style of eating, and there's not even, sometimes somebody was giving this description, there's not even a chair to sit on. You must just walk around and eat. Like how animals go around grazing. So now you must walk around and eat. Something from here, something from there, wherever. All the different things are placed all over the place. And you must walk around and carry on eating. So now that's their culture. Now if somebody borrows this style from them, so what will be the case? It will replace the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam of sitting and eating. So that will take its place. So on the one side, we've abandoned the Sunnah in that particular matter. And then you've borrowed something that is from an alien culture. And it is in direct opposition to the Sunnah. Because the Sunnah is to sit and eat. And this is to walk around and eat. So when you took something from there, it replaced, it moved out the sunnah from the way, na'uzubillah, and that came into one's life, and now that starts getting deeper, and then that becomes the norm, that becomes the style, and especially in some circles, people proudly hold on to that style. We are now modern now. We're doing it in modern style, not the old-fashioned. Na'uzubillah. That is a very serious statement, because the old-fashioned, if it is in reference to the sunnah, and if it's done despite knowing that this is the sunnah, being fully conscious of this, that this is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if that is being sort of dismissed, Allah forbid, put the iman online. The iman of a person will be online. It can jeopardize his iman, depending on what exactly was said and how it was referenced, and what was the intention. It can put a person's iman online, can jeopardize his iman. So now, in one matter, a person took something from the Western style, it will mean that something from sunnah has gone out of the life. So the noor of that sunnah, the barakat of that sunnah, the benefits of that sunnah, the means of getting closer to Allah Ta'ala through that sunnah, the means of gaining closeness to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam through practicing on that sunnah, all this has now been lost. Then the debate some people will come into regarding maybe not this particular aspect, some other things, but is it haram? Is it makruh tahrimi? Many aspects of deen. But the least about that aspect of deen was, if it was something mustahab, something on a level of adab, but it's an adab of deen. It's a mustahab in deen. So now that was a means of gaining closeness to Allah Ta'ala. It was an amal that came from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was a means of gaining closeness to him. It was a means of forgiveness of sins. It was a means of bringing noor in our lives, in our homes. It was a means of bringing barakat in our homes, in our lives. It was a means of so many good things. Now we just erased all that. We're talking about simple things that could have been done without any effort, but done in the sunnah manner, fulfilling that mustahab, fulfilling that adab, and so much to gain. The noor of the sunnah, the noor of that adab. It's an adab of deen. It's a mustahab in deen. So it has its own noor. So that noor would have come in the heart. That noor would have come in the home. The barakat of it would have come. It would have brought so much of goodness in so many aspects. It would have taken us closer to Allah Ta'ala, closer to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, closer to deen. We just erased it. Why? It's not farz. Not farz. We just wrote off, like a person saying, well, I don't have to open the shop after 5 o'clock. There was one customer standing at the door, and he would have been a customer that would have bought for 100,000. Would have made 20,000 and profit, and he was just going to come in. Maybe it was some one, just do the deal now and walk out. And in 1 minute's time, he'll be gone. 10 minutes' time, he'll be gone. The delivery will happen later. He was a customer that would have bought for 100,000, 500,000 maybe in 10 minutes. I want so many quantities of this particular item, that item, 5 things. He just did the deal and is gone. But now that person says, that no, time is up now. Shail eskati, they say. Time is up, I'm going. Nobody thinks like that. When he knows this is the customer, when he knows this is the prophet, and he knows this is the time required, 10 minutes, maybe 2 minutes. This person just is going to do the deal. He's just going to come confirm the order is gone. Nobody in their right mind will say, no, time is up. Unless he's a lazy manager and doesn't matter to him. But no owner will do that. In fact, he'll call him in. He'll seat him. This one say, I only got 5 minutes. He'll try to keep him for 10 minutes or more. Because if in 5 minutes he's going to spend 100,000, maybe in 10 minutes he may just spend more than that. Maybe another some items will come to mind, make it 200,000. He's not going to say that time is up. Why? Because of monetary gain, worldly gain. Now we all have our things that our hearts are attached to, something or the other. If on that day, somebody's husband came back late from work, he came late after closing the business, normally he comes at a certain time, he came half an hour later. So now first there was some irritation maybe, because there was no communication about it, that why was this delay. So now there was some, maybe the greeting was of a different kind. The greeting wasn't Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam, which is always to be the greeting. The greeting was, can you see the time? Or the greeting was something of that nature, Allah knows, whatever it might have been. But now when the details came forward, hey, today this half an hour, we made more than what we make for the whole month. The whole mood changed now. Really, oh subhanallah. Now the mashallah and subhanallah and alhamdulillah. And all the zikr started, that do you know what's the time got forgotten? And even if, now the person said, but you know what, he was wanting to buy more, but then I said, hey, it's getting late now. He said, array, these things happen once in a while now. What's the matter if you took another half an hour? Now the whole story changed the other way around. Why? Because now this extra will mean now we can maybe travel somewhere, we can go for Umrah, we can do something else, and okay, some other things, we can renovate the house. So all these things come in line now. Why? Because that extra time was fine for the monetary gain. But now when we come to our deen, then our question is, it's farz? Yes, okay, it's farz, then I have to do it. But this is not farz, so leave it. But all this benefit we lost. And the biggest thing is, more than anything else, one is the person didn't manage to do something. Even for example, if it was out of sheer laziness, which is a big deprivation, but it was out of sheer laziness, then don't ever say, but it's not farz. Just say my laziness. Because inshallah, that acknowledgement of the laziness, that acknowledgement might become a stepping stone towards getting the tawfiq. Because there's, by acknowledging it, there's some kind of regret in it. That I'm, why am I lazy now? I could have earned so much of sawab in this little effort, small effort, hardly any time. So now there's an acknowledgement, there's some degree of regret, remorse in it. That I lost out here now. I could have earned this. Inshallah, there will be some hope of tawfiq of amal. Not next time round, not the following, it'll come. If this remorse is there, there is a feeling of now loss, inshallah the doors will open. But if there is this dismissive kind of attitude, but is it farz? Is it wajib? So in other words, if it's not farz and wajib, then I don't need to do it. Then that we closing the doors of tawfiq upon ourselves. And then Allah forbid, when those things close up, every now and again these kind of things come up, a person says that, I missed my jama'at, my salah with jama'ah, but out of laziness. Meaning, when it was asked now, he said, well, I was just feeling lazy. So another person was lazy and he missed his salah with jama'ah. One time, two times. Many times such a person, then somebody communicated and said, my salah became qaza. I started off from the laziness of making salah with jama'ah. Then it even led to this point where that salah became qaza. And the person who was very conscious and very careful to make it always with jama'at, it may have happened sometimes that the jama'at got missed, but very rarely or ever that it became qaza. Something totally out of his control is a different thing, but out of laziness it will never become qaza. So the same thing here now, that when we just dismiss it, it's not farz, it's not wajib, then that will get lost already. But it will creep into other aspects which are necessary. It will gradually creep into that as well. And we'll start compromising and cutting down on those things also. So any case, coming back to this, that we started off, or we're discussing the aspect about that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he expressed this intention that if I remain alive next year, I will fast on the 9th as well. Now why was this said? That this a little bit outer resemblance, in reality is not even anywhere to do with any emulation. It was never done to emulate anybody. But it just created a little bit of outward resemblance. That too was now not left as it is. It was changed. So that this little outer resemblance also mustn't remain. So now, as we were discussing, a person takes one thing from other cultures, that resemblance of some sort is going to impact on something by depriving one of something or the other in deen. Some sunnah, some mustahab, it will become a source of deprivation of something on this end. And now that deprivation is not small. It's big. It's very massive. The reality of it will only know on the day of Qiyamah. Every sunnah has very great benefit in it. So if we didn't manage to do it, then we acknowledge that this was my loss. And inshallah, it will open out. But feel that within ourselves. Now when a person left out something about the manner of eating and took the Western style, so he got left out in the sunnah of eating. Person took something from the Western style of dressing. So the sunnah and the manner of deen, the haya of deen, now imagine now where it's going to. One is the sunnah manner of dressing. That will get lost. But then, what is in the ways of the kuffar, the styles of the Yahud and Nasara? The aspect of haya is either in single digit percentage or even gone completely. Totally out, totally in the red. Now, haya is not mustahab. Haya is farz. Certain levels of haya is compulsory. But now when the person has abandoned the part of deen, so now they've gone into the red. When they abandoned and took the Western style and culture in dressing, but that culture and that style which is devoid of haya, and now walking in front of their fathers and brothers and sons and then outside, Allah forbid how and what. So now there's no more like they lost out on the mustahab. They lost out on the farz itself. So this is a very big message that we have been given on this occasion. And mashallah, many, alhamdulillah, take the opportunity and make the effort to fast on the 9th and 10th or the 10th and 11th in keeping up with the spirit that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed. So now that is not something to do there and forget about it. It's something to take the lesson along. That in all aspects of life, we need to break the resemblance that we are probably already involved in with the Yahud and Nasara. That we don't have anything to do with resembling them. We want to be clearly doing that which identifies ourselves as Muslims, that maintains our identity, our culture, that we are the followers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are not the emulators of Yahud and Nasara. And especially in this period of time, when we see what kind of open hatred the Yahud have for the believers, and what kind of blatant zulm, and with the assistance of the Nasara, and all hand in hand, and no more doing it in a subtle way, no more trying to hide how things are happening, blatant. And despite this blatant attack on Islam and the Muslims, and what is going on in Gaza, and just trying to now sometimes give some kind of explanations which even the kuffar don't accept, that how blatant this is. But yet we don't have the heart to break the blatant resemblance with the Yahud and Nasara. So then how we are going to find our way forward in deen, and on the day of Qiyamah, how are we going to face the situation that we sided on the one side, we will want the shafa'a and the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but at the same time we abandoned his mubarak ways in so many aspects of life for the ways of the Yahud, at a time when the Yahud, that at any time is bad enough, but at a time when such blatant attacks are happening on the Ummah from the side of the Yahud, and we still want to hanker after their way. We still want to latch onto their culture. We still not yet ready to kick out of our lives their ways. Now how far away is this? How are we going to expect that shafaat on the day of Qiyamah? So this occasion, mashallah, on the one side, we take the opportunity to gain the virtues. Excellent. That's a very great thing. But we must take this lesson as well. And this lesson we must inculcate in all aspects of life. That we must stay away from the resemblance of the Yahud and Nasara, emulating them in their ways, borrowing from their cultures. We don't need to borrow anything from anywhere. A person who has nothing, then he's borrowing from elsewhere. He's starving, so he's now begging from out there that please give me something. But if a person is full, he's satiated, he has everything, a king is now looking outside and saying, please give me something. What can you think about such a king? We have been made kings in this dunya with the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we are looking at the slaves of the West, we are looking at the slaves of their own nafs and desires, and we are asking them for something, na'uzu billah. We don't need to ask anybody. We have what is the greatest way of life and the most beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-Islam. That is what we have to latch on to. The Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every facet of life. This is what we have to hold on to and shun the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. This is our way forward. Allah Ta'ala bless us all with the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant khair in every matter. And Allah Ta'ala take us in that line and path which will bring us closer to Him and closer to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله